Hi, Pete. Very nice to see you, and thank you so much for being with us. Tell me a little bit about that 47 opening day and what you thought that did for the Brooklyn Dodgers, with Leo Durocher having to step aside in a gambling situation and then bringing in a new manager and certainly a new ball player.
Well, the commissioner at the time was Happy Chandler, and the owners took a vote on whether to allow Jackie Robinson to come into baseball, and the vote was 15 no, and the Brooklyn Dodgers yes. So it was a question whether Robinson would be allowed to come in and become a Brooklyn Dodger, but Branch Rickey went to the commissioner, Happy Chandler. Chandler was the governor of Kentucky. He was a senator from Kentucky, and so he wasn't sure what Chandler was going to do. And it turned out that Chandler was a religious guy and a decent guy, and he said to Rickey, if you call him up, I will give you permission to put him on your team. Because without Chandler, that would never, ever, ever have happened. And as you mentioned also, the other thing that was going on at the time, Leo Durocher was in trouble with the commissioner for a number of reasons. One of the reasons was that he had friends, close friends, who were gamblers. And I mean professional gamblers. And Durocher was caught one day sitting with them. And they went to Chandler, and Chandler decided that this was enough. Enough of this was enough. Which is interesting, because today, Major League Baseball, as you know, is now invested in gambling. Gambling is going to bring a hell of a lot of money to Major League Baseball. Whereas in the past, you know, the Black Sox, with Shoeless Joe Jackson and the other seven guys, were thrown out of baseball for throwing the World Series in 1919. Pete Rose was not allowed to come into the Hall of Fame because he was, as a manager, he was betting on sports and baseball. And, well, you got Ohtani right now, who is blaming his interpreter for spending $4.5 million on bets. And you can bet that it's not the interpreter's money, that it's Ohtani's money. Anyhow, Durocher was similarly involved. And so Commissioner Chandler suspended Durocher for a year. And so as a result of that, it's interesting that the combination of Durocher, who was a wild man, and Jackie Robinson, the very first African-American player in baseball, it would have been an interesting combination of Durocher, the manager, and Robinson, but that didn't get to happen.
Yeah, we're so blessed to have with us Peter Golenbach today, and that accounting there of that 47 and breaking Jackie Robinson in. Those are the type of stories that when you're with Peter Golenbach, you can hear. And I know you've got a book signing coming up here in the St. Petersburg area as our local historian of baseball, and that's coming up in just a few weeks, and it's on a Monday night. Tell us about
that. April 19th at Tombolo Books. My book is Baseball Heaven. And among the people I interviewed for that book was Commissioner Happy Chandler.
How about that? That brings it full circle there, Peter. We'd be remiss on opening day if we didn't hear some of your most vivid recollections, and that could be back to those we've been talking about, putting championship rings in the championship ring ceremony with that 77-78 Yankee team that you knew so well. How was opening day after those 2 years?
Well, obviously, when the Yankees won in 76, 77, and 78, I was very, very lucky. I got a call from Billy Martin's guy, his business manager. How would you like to write a book with Billy? This was after I had written Dynasty. I had interviewed Billy for that. And in Dynasty, I had said that Billy Martin was as important to the Yankees as Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford. So naturally, Bill wanted to write his book with the guy who wrote that. So when it came time to do Billy's book, for some reason, he was busy and couldn't do it at that time. And the business manager had one other client, and that was Sparky Lyle, who had won the Cy Young Award in 1977 pitching for the Yankees. So what I didn't realize when Sparky and I started writing our diary of the 1978 season, that Sparky was a little bit angry. He was making $140,000 a year, and during the winter, after he had won the Cy Young Award, George Steinbrenner signed Goose Gossage for $2 million. So already Goose was making far, far, far more money than he was making. And Sparky also knew that if Steinbrenner gave him $2 million, he was going to lose his role as the closer, which is what happened. So during that entire 1978 season, I lived in Englewood. Sparky lived in Creskill, which was two towns over. So while the Yankees were at home, I would drive over to Sparky's house, and we would sit for an hour or two and talk about what was going on with the Yankees. And he told the most marvelous stories. You know, the time, for instance, that Thurman Munson ordered a gun belt in the mail. So Thurman Munson wrote down that he had a .32 waist, put the money in the envelope, send the thing off. Well, Sparky and a couple of the other guys got the envelope, opened it back up, and it said waist 55 inches. Put it back in the mail. The gun belt came in. Thurman put the thing on. It was way, way, way too big. And Thurman was absolutely furious. So he wrote a nasty note to the people and told them, look, my waist is 32 inches. Send it back. Of course, Sparky and the boys then got the envelope and changed it to 15 inches. So again, the gun belt came, and it was much, much too small for Thurman. Finally, Thurman figured out what was going on. These were the stories that they were, that Sparky was telling.
The beautiful clubhouse humor, and it never ends in the clubhouse there. One other thing that I'm so intrigued to hear about is going into the 84 season, You are the author of Craig Nettles' book, and Craig Nettles, right, his opening day is coming, goes to the San Diego Padres. How does a ball player adjust when he makes a transition from one city to another city?
Well, Greg was from San Diego, and quite frankly, something I didn't know, he didn't want to be with Steinbrenner anymore. So we wrote a book, I think in 83, which was called Balls. And he told all of the stories himself, infuriating Steinbrenner enough to get him traded to, he was traded to San Diego. Sparky Lyle at the end of that season also wanted out, and he got traded to Texas. So these fellas sort of knew what they were doing when they were doing it. And the one who benefited, of course, financially was me.
Nothing wrong with that. And that that late Yankee legends of 76, 77, and 78 that you talk about, they then would go almost a decade and a half until the 90s, until they found magic again. When you think of the Rays, and the Rays have had magic here in their young franchise, what will it take for this team to get back to that that type of pinnacle of baseball?
Well, they've been in the playoffs 5 years in a row, and not many other teams have done that. So it's sort of magical what the Rays do. I really don't know how they do it, and I've tried to get the Rays to sit with me and write a book about how they do it, but they're so afraid that if they do that, everybody else will learn how to do it, too. But you notice, too, that teams are picking off our guys.
Oh, right and left. The front office?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Friedman went to the Dodgers, and somebody went to Houston. Somebody went to the Red Sox. And
we're like the master's program for their doctorates.
It's really true. It's really, really true. Look, the Rays last year, Springs, McClanahan, Drew Rasmussen, they lost five fine starting pitchers, and they still won 90-something games. How does a team do that? That's unbelievable.
Let me pay a few bills here, fellas, since the first couple of hours I didn't get a chance to take care of our supporters on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, all of our shows, and, of course, our newest one, the guys that I'm looking forward to really getting involved with and are on the T Florida's. If you're looking for an affordable golf cart that doesn't break the bank, go to Facebook.com, search Plant City On the Job Carts LLC. Message Tim. He stopped by a little earlier. We've got some flyers here. We got some keychains. Come on by and see us if you're downtown. And then, of course, mention Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection or On the T Florida, and they'll give you an additional 10%. Now, the reason I like these guys, when I moved to Florida, I always had golf carts up north. I get down here, and it's like you got to buy a Rolls Royce or a Cadillac. Everybody's got every bell and whistle, and I'm thinking, you know, the common man, it's not within their budget. These guys will take care of you. They'll find you. You tell them what you want, they'll find that golf cart for you. And as an example, let's say you have a $3,000 golf cart. You get 10% off. You mentioned Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection or On the Tee Florida, and you can throw that towards accessories. They've got accessories, and they'll take very good care of you. The beauty of these guys, they don't have brick and mortar. They don't have the overhead, but they will find the opportunity as well as your business. We could have used a golf cart to run here today, Kip, down here at Ferg's. I could have run over and picked you up when he got off the bus. Anyway, you'll be hearing a lot of great things from those guys with us. They're going to be on the par 3 at the Super Bowl of Golf when we do that with the NFL alumni, and they'll be with us in the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. We got the insurance covered for that, and we'll have a lot of fun. So that's one of our brand new sponsors, and I'm appreciative of all the work that Jay Davis is doing to bring those guys in. And then, of course, here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, you've got Michelob Ultra. They're the sponsor of our golf show. I want to thank Chris Lewis, who's responsible for all these buckets of Michelob Ultra around. And then, of course, Ice Pick Vodka. Come on down to Ferg's. Get yourself a Champa Bay. And then come on over Monday nights. Sea Dogs Brew. We have our show Big Monday. And we had Oscar Garner III, the Big O, returned home last Monday, and we had a great show. You had all those tourists down there, packed house, and we talk MLB, NFL, NHL, you name it, the world of gambling and prognostication. And these young analysts that work at Raymond James Financial are superb at that. So those are some of our sponsors. We're blessed to have Peter Gullin back in the house, and, of course, Kip Engel. And the thing about Kip is he is a plethora of information. This is the godfather down here. So I'm just going to sit back and listen to you guys tell stories. And Joe Bordeaux, the founder of RadioSaintPete.com, is probably like a little kid in a candy shop because he loves this kind of history that you both have delivered, and I appreciate it very much.
Opening day, so exciting, Peter. As Yogi Berra said, a home opener is always exciting, no matter if it's home or road. What would be some of your fondest memories of opening day, and what makes this such a special day of the year?
What's amazing to me is that we have a team at all. I came here in 1989 for the Senior Professional Baseball League, and I wrote a book about the St. Pete Pelicans called The Forever Boys, and I was also the commentator. Jack Weers did the play-by-play, and I did the commentator for the comments.
He's a color man.
Color man. I was the color guy for the St. Pete Pelicans. So I was living in Ridgefield, Connecticut, until I came down here. I can remember the first day driving down 275, and I saw a sign that said, if you go any farther, you're going to end up in Bradenton. So I made a right, and I went down the Bayway. And I'm riding over the Bayway, and there's this big bridge. And at the top of the bridge, I could see the Don Cesar Hotel.
Yeah. Great view.
And it was October 31st, 1989, and it was 72 degrees. And there was the Don Cesar and the palm trees. And I thought to myself, why would anybody live anywhere else? And I was fortunate that the Pelicans let me spend the season with them. We won the championship, which was fantastic. And I got to be with Doc Ellis and Bobby Tolan, who was the manager, and all these other great, great, great ball players. And after the season was over in March, I went directly home to Ridgefield, Connecticut, sold my house, and came back here to St. Petersburg, where I have been in the same house since June of 1990.
Well, we're blessed that we had the senior league. I got to be the general manager of the Fort Myers Sun Sox in that same league.
Oh, isn't that fabulous?
And see all the fun times that we had and the ball players. They're playing, my thoughts, about a double-A level of baseball, but they played with all their passion and the stories and the you recounted of being with Doc Ellis and Bobby Tolan in those days. And I'd be with a Danny Dreesen, and he'd be telling me stories about the championship Reds teams.
The St. Pete Pelicans was triple-A. Your team was double-A. That's why we won the championship.
Yeah, you guys were chump change compared to him.
Not only the Fort Myers team was owned by two guys, and one guy was a DuPont, and the other guy was a drug addict. And the DuPont found out that the other guy was using his money for drugs and canceled the season on Christmas of the second year.
Oh,
and that was the end of the league.
And that was on Christmas?
On Christmas, I got a call, and I had to call each of the players that night and say, don't come back for the rest of the season. There is no more rest of the season.
You're the guy who had to make the call?
And by the way, there's no more league. But that,
did you know that, Peter? Did you know he was the guy that had to make the call?
I had no idea.
Oh, my God.
That's just so fabulous.
But that,
now you know the rest of the story.
That was the beauty of it, and players were... The most that a player could make in that league was $10,000 per month, and in the second league, in the second season, I had guys that I would reach out to, and they were like, you know, I had a good season. I want $7,000. I want $6,000, and I'm like, well, here's the deal. This league, unless you take $4,000, there's not going to be a league. When I got that last day, and I called guys up that night, they were like, you know, if we can still play, I'll take $2,000. And that's how much ball players love playing the game. And some of the days, Pete, that you saw, you've seen the same thing about how much a ball player never wants to give up his jersey.
No, never. That league was so, so fabulous. We had guys, before they came to the Pelicans, literally were homeless.
Oh, my God.
Homeless. They were homeless when they came to us. And they this league put their lives back together again. I'm still in contact with three or four of them. Doc Ellis became a very close friend of mine. Doc Ellis is another one who's in my book, Baseball Heaven. We became very, very close. Doc told me that he had never pitched a game, a major league game, and I considered the senior league a major league game. Never pitched a major league game, not either drunk or stoned, ever.
What?
He told me he once pitched a no-hitter on LSD. This was Doc. Doc was a very, very interesting, complex man who ended up becoming a drug counselor for the New York Yankees later. Gooden and Darryl Strawberry,
yep,
were part of the people who he counseled. And a fabulous, fabulous human being that he was. Never forget him.
When you talk about that, and certainly the New York Mets of the 80s that you covered so closely, certainly had their trials and tribulations like that. You saw the zaniness of George Steinbrenner's squads.
George loved Peter Gallenbach.
Compare and contrast those two championships based on what they were going through off the field, and then how that carried to on the field.
Well, the Yankees had George Steinbrenner as the owner, and Billy Martin, he was the manager. Now, what you have to understand is that to Billy, being the Yankee manager was more important than life itself. Because if you look at the history of it all, Billy Martin was fired by George Steinbrenner 5 different times. Now, you've got to be a little bit loony after you get fired the first time to want to come back and work for the guy again. But there was a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. And strangely enough, poor Billy was killed in a car accident driving near his home in Binghamton, New York. It was a freezing day, and it was sleeting. And he and his buddy Bill Reedy were driving from a bar close to his home where his truck slid into a ditch. And Billy, being that guy that Billy was, and he could have turned off the keys, got out of the car, and walked 1,000 feet to his home, and everybody would have been fine. But Billy got angry that his car had rolled into this ditch, and he floored it and turned his wheel hard to the left, but it was so cold and slippery that the truck slammed head-on into a big round thing made out of concrete, and Billy broke his neck and died, unfortunately. I found out later from Cleet Boyer that had Billy not died, Billy was coming back to the Yankees for a sixth time.
Oh, my God.
So when you think about those 86 Mets and Dykstra, a troubled person later in life.
I did a book with Lenny Dykstra. We did a book together. And one of the clauses in our contract was that he could cancel our partnership at any time for any reason. And I signed it anyway, stupidly, even though I realized that Lenny had cheated an awful lot of people during his life. So we got about 98.5% of the way finished with our book, and it was going to be a really fabulous book when Lenny fired me from the job and took all the money I was supposed to get. Lenny, unfortunately, owed a lot of people money, and the way he got it was by stealing it from me.
Thank goodness you had 40 other books.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connections First Pitch Broadcast on this opening day, the Tampa Bay Rays. We're live at Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill. It's starting to pack. The place is starting to get packed. I can see a lot more Rays jerseys there, Kip, than we saw early, as it was primarily Toronto Blue Jays. Mark Ferguson in the house, of course. He's the host with the most when it comes to sports and entertainment music. We've got a live concert out back right now with the Folcos. That'll run till 4 o'clock. First pitch is at 4:10. And then at 6:45 when the game is over, coming here, and we've got another band, and there'll be all kinds of action. Tonight, March Madness, you got two great games, two games that Kip and I will be watching, one closely, my Iowa State Cyclones against his Illinois Fighting Illini, and all the televisions, over 100 of them, will be on March Madness tonight. But right now, the focal point is baseball across the country. It's opening day. So I'm in the restroom after I left here, and we're talking about parades in Cincinnati. And I'm and all of the Rays fans, I'm asking them, and I'm going to ask you, we need a petition to do a parade on Central on opening day every year. That'd be kind of cool.
What's cool is what's happening at Ferg's right now.
Absolutely.
That's what's cool. You don't need a parade.
We could finish it right here.
No, it is right here. Let me tell you something. There's certain holidays. There's New Year's. There's Christmas. There's Easter, there's Flag Day. None of them, compare to the religiosity of what's going on right here.
Religiosity.
It doesn't matter who you are. You could be a Democrat, an independent. You can be a Trumper if you want to be. You can be a communist. It doesn't matter. You put on that Rays uniform and you become part of a very, very special tribe. I'm telling you this right now.
I'm gonna cut that snippet out of this show, and we're gonna run that every time he's on, because he is the godfather of baseball down here, and that was well said. And religiosity, there's a new one for me.
You've never heard the Pope say that? I heard him hopping out of the Pope mobile the other day. He said religiosity, and he was right. And we're drinking the Kool-Aid right here of Rays baseball, and it's a beautiful thing to be drinking, because we're here with children that are playing catch out here.
Absolutely.
There's another Twins fan.
Yes, indeed. But he's not. He does have Frosty in his hand. He doesn't have it on the back of his jersey.
You know what you don't see? What you don't see here is you don't see people wearing Yankees uniforms. The dumbest thing that happened was allowing the Yankees to come to Tampa to set up shop there. Because all those Yankee fans should be here. and none of them are. They're all waiting for the Yankees to come and play the Rays before they show up at the drop. And it's a shame.
I agree with you 1,000% when that decision was made. Hey, there's a kid near and dear to my heart. Little Cubs action. Go Cubbies. Hey, listen, should we take a look at this 2024 team? And as Peter always says when we talk about Rays, you know, who are these guys? And it's another year of that, with the exception of Rosa. If you look at this lineup, though, a good portion of it was
nobody,
intact.
Nobody here can tell you who in the American League won the American League batting title. Nobody.
Well, Yandy Diaz, and I know the fellow, and wearing that Diaz jersey, I'm sure he can tell us. And the nice thing, people around the league that are sitting in a big league clubhouse right now, they know who Yandy Diaz is.
They do now. They do now.
They do, and that's right. And there's no reason to think that he won't repeat that batting title, but he's going to get a stiff challenge from Bo Bichette, who seeing a lot of Bo Bichette jerseys here, Peter Golenbach.
Yeah, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And I know in your day you saw a lot of Reggie jerseys, a lot of Thurman Munson jerseys, and hopefully a lot of Sparky Lyle jerseys after you put him on the map.
Yeah, but not here.
Not here.
Not
absolutely
here.
That's all we need
I
to see.
I saw them at Yankee Stadium.
All we need to see right here is Rays jerseys, and we need to see them throughout the season. We had Mark come in from Ferg's, our owner and host today, and he says 97 wins for the Rays this year, and I base that a lot on the strength of that middle relief that they've got, and how that's going to fill in for some starters that may not be able to test the time.
You do realize that five starting pitchers from last year are on the DL. Five of them. Springs, Drew, McClanahan, and there are two others. Guys who are not going to be playing again until July, August, and we're still predicted to win 90-something games.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
And that's part of that is the brilliance of Kevin Cash and the brilliance of the organization and how they're able to mix and match. And they let these injuries roll off. I mean, obviously, Bradley could have been a big part of this.
He could have been.
And lo and behold, we have that happen in spring training. So the organization keeps retooling. We've gotten through.
Well, they got this guy Pepiot from the Dodgers in a trade. And I watched him pitch. Holy smokes, this guy is tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. He's going to be the ace of our staff this year. I promise you that.
And that comes from Peter Golenbach. Over 50 years of baseball experience. He's seen it all on different championship teams. He likes them. And obviously that organization, the Rays, when you lose a glass now, you got to get something for him. Yeah. And that they did. And in that last start, one hit over six innings. Let's go see it again. Let's go see it 25 times this year. Maybe
what
even
the Rays
30.
Need to do, what they need to do in order to cement themselves in the rest of the country is to win a World Series.
Exactly.
They've been to two.
Yep.
They lost to Philadelphia, and in 2020 they lost to the Dodgers.
Yep.
And so we
can you
do
say, can you
not,
say Blake Snell?
We yeah. Don't take Blake Snell out. Kevin, what are you doing?
I was going freaking crazy, as every Rays fan was. And that, and now Snell's up in the Bay Area with the Giants. And
glad he's not in New York with the Yankees.
So am I. Hey, let's thank some of our sponsors. As I said, Michelob Ultra, they're supporting down here. And of course, we've got Madman Mac harassing my guest, as he always does. Probably got a little ice pick vodka, one of our sponsors in that beverage as well. And then, of course, Shipyard Brewing, Fred Forsley, Charlie Breakarn, they do a superb job. Love those cats. And as I said, On the Job Carts, our new On the Tee Florida sponsor. You'll be hearing more about them in our conversations on the Tee Florida. Liquid Drip, Sean Knight's in the house. I know that. You can get yourself a Liquid Drip. It's a THC-infused orange beverage. You got Blackberry as well. And those babies, if that's your deal, they're superb. They're legal, and you can get those down here as well. And then, of course, Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages sponsored this show specifically, where I'm blessed to have Kip Engel and Peter Gollenbach, two guys with more knowledge of inside baseball than anyone in this area. And then I could throw my good friend John Bakke into that conversation sometime and have the three of them talk baseball for hours and hours. And I guess maybe we should get some predictions. I know a lot of people have the Orioles winning the East again with that young nucleus. They didn't really make too many moves in the offseason, I don't believe, Kip. They didn't have to, actually. And then they've got the Yankees second. This is, the prognosticators from the New York Post, as I said. Then they got the Rays third. They've got Toronto in fourth, which I find hard to believe with all that talent. And then, doesn't break my heart, the Red Sox dead last again. And I smile every time and make sure I let all my Boston Red Sox buddies know it. How are you guys going to do this year? I'm always calling them during spring training. How are you going to do?
Well, the Red Sox fans are absolutely furious.
Oh, my God, they should
just be. Furious. The owner bought himself a soccer team over in England.
And he invested in the PGA enormously.
Yeah. So he's spending all his money on soccer and golf. And unfortunately, he's not spending the money he needs to spend on the Red Sox.
I was stunned when I saw, in our golf world, I was stunned that he was one of the groups, one of the participants. And there are several other owners of sport across America.
You know that he was the owner of the West Palm Beach Tropics. In the senior professional baseball.
This is my first conversation on this defunct that you guys both played a big part in, which I think should be a movie. It'd be a good script. You should write a script about it.
I'm not a movie writer. I'm sorry.
No, you should write a script about drug dealer and the DuPont guy. I mean, you having to call guys on Christmas.
You realize the owner of the Orlando team owed the Detroit mob $10 million that he had stole from.
This is a definite movie.
So towards the end of the first year, which was a four-month season, it was February, the owner of the Orlando team disappeared, never to be found again.
Did Jimmy Hoffa him?
Yes. He's probably in the walls of some stadium somewhere.
Oh my God. This would definitely be a great movie. Yeah. A Netflix series.
Absolutely. And then you throw in the brilliance of some of the players that were in there. You've got Earl Weaver, who we talked about earlier in those great Oriole years. You've got him skippering a team, a Hall of Famer.
Earl Weaver did?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you something. Earl Weaver brought his team to St. Petersburg. We're playing at Al Lang Stadium. And something happened.
Playing your AAA team?
We're playing them. Yeah. No. The senior league.
Gotcha.
Weaver had the Miami team.
Okay.
Weaver was the manager of Miami.
Okay, gotcha.
So he comes to St. Petersburg, and the umpire, these are college umpires, okay? The umpire calls somebody out from Miami out at second base where he was really safe. Weaver went out there. I bet he argued with that guy for 45 minutes.
He was
Earl Weaver. So these college guys didn't have the balls to throw him out.
He did his classic Earl Weaver. Have you ever seen one of those reels that they have now on YouTube? They have a reel of Earl Weaver-isms. This one sounds like it should be in it.
45 minutes before finally had to get the game going, they threw him out.
That was the zaniness of that league, but it was truly a serious league, as shown by Paul Mirabella, who pitched
sounds
in the
serious.
League. And lo and behold, he came back the next year and pitched in the big leagues for the Milwaukee Brewers.
He was the only one, because we on the St. Pete Pelicans had two or three players who very well could have done that. But it seemed to me we had hired as our commissioner
Kurt Flood.
We had hired as our commissioner Kurt Flood. Now, Kurt Flood had sued Major League Baseball,
if you remember.
So when the senior league hired Kurt Flood to be the commissioner, the people in the major leagues really determined that nobody who played in the senior league was going to come back to Major League Baseball. We had a wonderful catcher who had a great, great year and should have been a catcher for the Cubs. The Cubs signed him. They took him to AAA, but they never gave him a major
league
contract.
They took him to where I was, Des Moines, Iowa.
I'm really shocked to find out that one of your pitchers actually made it.
Was that Butch Benton that you were
Butch Benton was absolutely right. Thank you.
This is a trip back in time. You fellas, I'm enjoying this thoroughly.
Well, the times to go back to are truly the major league times that that Peter knows so well, and his years of covering the Yankees and certainly his knowledge of the Brooklyn Dodgers. So happy to have read and had a big part of his spirit of St. Louis that was so close to me with my past relationship with the Cardinals. And give me one story about the Cardinals, and then we'll head back to the Rays that people want to hear about as we talk about the Rays and the excitement of 2024 right around the corner in opening day at 4:10 today at the Trop.
Well, one of the players from the Cardinals who I interviewed for my Spirit of St. Louis books was Stan Musial. Stan was very
Stan the
close.
Man.
He was very close to the city of St. Petersburg because they trained here, and so he was here quite often. And I had the opportunity to interview him for this book. And of all the dozens and almost hundreds, maybe hundreds of players who I interviewed, Stan Musial may have been the most gentlemanly of all of those players. Gary Carter was the other one. Those two guys really, really stood out. When Jackie Robinson came up to the Dodgers, there was a game. He was spiked on the leg by Eno Slaughter on a particular play. Stan Musial came over to Jackie and apologized for that. This was during a period when the racism was really, really at its height. Stan Musial showed what a real, true gentleman that he was.
Class act. So let's go 2024 for a little, because a couple of things I wanted to get out of you experts is some predictions. Who do you think, starting out, who will win the World Series this year? We'll start with Peter.
Well, if I don't say the Rays, I'm out of my freaking mind. What are you talking about? How about the Rays?
Besides the Rays.
How about that? Besides the Rays, if you look at the Dodgers, if you look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, what they have with Mookie Betts. And let me ask you a question. You're the Boston Red Sox, and you've got Mookie Betts, who's one of the finest ball players who ever lived. What in the world are you doing trading away Mookie Betts? In the world are you doing that?
That was one of the most ignorant moves I've seen in baseball.
They're saving money? What are they doing?
That is a challenge there. And that Dodgers is a tough, tough squad. You've got MVPs, defending MVPs, hitting number one, number two, and number three in that lineup. You bring over Tyler Glass now, but the beautiful thing in a baseball season is you've got injuries. So
you got 162 games.
Not only that, but you've got a guy who bet $4.5 million to gamblers, and the FBI discovered his $4.5 million debt to these gamblers.
Allegedly, Peter. Allegedly.
Oh, give me this allegedly. Oh, no. His interpreter, who was making $25,000
a year. Well, you know
that
Major League Baseball is going to spin this, baby, as long as they can. But the longer they do that, the more complicit they look in allowing this. And how about the Angels doing their They're deep dive into people's resumes. What the hell? The cat never even went to UC Riverside, and he said that's where he graduated from. I guess he's a prolific liar, so they're going to use him as the fall guy on this because he's a prolific liar.
I was waiting to get into this and waiting for the brilliance of Peter Golenbach to be here, and I will start off with the last episode that Major League Baseball had, which was with Jared Cosart. And Cosart, a starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins, is out there. And lo and behold, he's betting on March Madness. And that's become so more commonplace in our world now. But he goes online and talks about his betting on that. So Major League Baseball then had to say, okay, you've worked with a bookmaker, and that's I think what Peter will confirm, and I think what you'll confirm, Mike, is that we're all worried about that. We don't want to see the game that we love tarnished by a bookmaker getting in there and throwing ball players. So what they did, the precedents for Ohtani and what might happen to Ohtani is back to then and Cosart, who they gave a fine. And obviously we know of the Pete Rose situation, and there you have a situation of a player potentially involved in games. So that is the difference that we have right now, is did Ohtani get involved in a baseball situation, or is this solely what we all see in any clubhouses that we're in, that players are involved in pools, players are involved in fantasy football teams. So I definitely want you guys to talk.
You're missing the number one question, though. What happened in 1919?
The Black Sox scandal.
They were paid to throw games. What happens if somebody is betting on sports with these thugs, and the thugs turn around and say to him, okay, you owe us all this money. Tomorrow I want you to throw the game. That's what you're dealing with.
Well, there's an examination, apparently, of one game, which
Ohtani pitched.
Precisely.
And gave up six runs.
Precisely. And so they're far from furthering this, but I don't think Major League Baseball would have gotten anywhere with it if the feds wouldn't have gotten involved. I don't think they want the face of baseball, which he has become, to be tarnished. And now they got, you know, they got to get their arms around this.
And that's what they had to clear in the last episode with Cosart, was they went back and they looked into his first inning performances the year prior to that, because they wanted to see if there's a pattern. There's a pattern there, and does this affect first inning wagers? So once they clear that out, that no, this guy is solely betting on NCAA basketball games, then you don't have an issue. But it's the same thing that we started out talking to Peter and his expertise on Leo Durocher and what happened back in the 47 season. The Dodgers had just been in Cuba, and he was involved with known bookmakers in that area, known mafia, and Peter, to that point, that's what they were concerned about, that games would not be thrown.
They certainly were.
Let me ask you this, Peter.
Yeah.
Through this process, they find that he did have some hand in it, and they go lightly on him. Does Pete Rose get in the Hall of Fame?
Pete Rose the other day said, you know, I'm really sorry I didn't have an interpreter at the time.
Only my man Pete Rose. I've got to meet him on several occasions. You probably had as well. And I enjoyed him thoroughly at a golf tournament.
I did a book with him.
Oh, you did the book with Pete Rose. I forgot. He's a great cat, isn't he?
We had so much fun. Pete was like a 12-year-old.
He's a guy's guy.
He comes one day. I'm in Cincinnati, and he comes in, and he opens up like this. There must be 150 tickets for horses.
His stubs?
No, he had bet the, if you pick the first six winners,
yeah,
you win a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
So he told me that the trainers had told him that three of these was a push. So he had to spend all the money to buy the tickets all for the other three. So I said, Pete, how much did you spend on these tickets? He says $100,000. I said, oh, my goodness.
Probably about 900 G's to a million today.
Come in the next day. I said, Pete, how'd you do? He says, we won $50,000. We came in. We won the first six races.
And that harkens back to one of the beauties of the area in St. Petersburg and spring training in this area, and that was Derby Lane and the number of different ball players, executives, and
yes.
And Derby Lane being the place for a lot of Major League Baseball executives and players to have a great time in spring training.
And there was a horse track in Tampa.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But still is.
Is there still?
Oh, yeah. Tampa Downs still there.
Tampa Downs
they're a client of mine.
They running?
Tampa Downs?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh good.
Yeah, we'll do for the Triple Crown. We'll do some promotions and then actually you'll hear the live call on our show on the Florida Sports Streams for the Triple Crown. Okay, so course race, and then you lean towards the Dodgers. Kip, I'll put it on you.
All right, since we've talked about some zany teams with those Yankees in the past, we've talked about some zany folks in the Mets and how they rose to the occasion. The Philadelphia Phillies seem to be out of that zaniness, and what they also combine, other than having zany ball players, is they've got pitching, and that's what baseball is all about. You throw two guys that you can put at the top of a rotation there and that can win games, that can stop losing streaks. As crazy as this is, so many people like the Atlanta Braves. I say the Phillies get it done this year and climb to that final rung.
And that's a World Series champion. I think that they could repeat in the AL. You take a look at that Texas Rangers lineup. They did not lose anybody. Now, they've got some injuries starting the season off.
They got Scherzer and DeGrom.
But when they come back, look out.
The question is, will they come back? I'm dying to know. I got my rotisserie draft on Sunday, and I'm dying to know when Scherzer and DeGrom are coming back.
He's been playing fantasy baseball before it became cool, going back in the 70s or
80s. 1984 was my first year.
The original rotisseries coming out in New York.
We had the first original out of New York, the first one.
All right, here's one for you, expert. We're just talking about Mike's Texas Rangers. What do we think of Evan Carter versus Wyatt Langford?
Langford, most rookie of the year. Carter, third or fourth.
How about that? Two right off the top there. And certainly two for you folks that don't know about Wyatt Langford. Somebody to take a look at. And if you want to support a local Florida guy out of the University of Florida. The interesting one for me as you look at fantasy is Victor Scott, who we talked about earlier, that the Cardinals will bring up replacing their three injured outfielders. And this is a guy.
Is he the next Ricky Henderson, you think?
He's the next 100 base stealer in the big leagues, and that says a lot in today's game. But with that, the Rays with larger bases that we brought in last year, if he gets a chance to stay up at the big league level, definitely a threat for 100 steals.
You know this kid?
I'm an American League rotisserie player, so I don't know the National League at all.
You know what I love about this guy? I just discovered last week talking to his lovely bride, Wendy. First of all, he met her at Fan Fest. This guy's whole life is baseball. He meets his lovely bride, Wendy, at Fan Fest. And then I call to line him up for the show and said, "Where's Peter at?" "Oh, he's all playing ball." I go, "What kind?" "Oh, baseball, softball." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" And that's what I was so impressed with. You already knew that as well.
Well, he stays in great shape, and you scout the youngsters, but an old guy like me, I got to scout the older players here. I'm looking to bring the senior league back, and Peter Golenbach's my starting center fielder.
I think you're better off at first base these days. No offense. I'm so impressed. I told you you're my hero now. You're my goal at 67. I got to get my ass moving.
Well, it would be so great to bring that senior league back. It'll never happen. But what happened was the first year all the teams were in Florida. So all the guys got together and they decided in order for us to have more expensive sponsors, national sponsors, we should have one team in California and one team in Arizona. And the problem was that the cost of flying everybody to California and Arizona was so great that they just couldn't handle it. One of the reasons it went over, beside the drug use of the guy in Fort Myers,
and the guy that had a $10 million debt with the mob.
That's right.
This is definite script. Tom Gribben's a friend of mine, and he just wrote it. He just wrote a book, "The Last Florida Boy." He's somewhere around here, and that book is going to be turned into a Netflix. Into a Netflix series, and that's about the old days of selling weed down in your neighborhood and Jimmy Buffett, his buddy, and it is fictional. This thing has wheels. You need to pioneer. You two together, need to partner up and get this thing into some kind of a movie. People will love it.
Well, you tie in all the zaniness of it, but let's not forget that you also had Jim Rice Hall of Famer playing in that league.
You can't?
Let's not forget that your guy, Fergie Jenkins, was pitching in that league.
I love Fergie.
Then you put in the managers. We talked about Weaver. We also have Dick Williams, two Hall of Fame managers. So you had quality
Hall of Fame people.
Let me tell you
thing.
A story about Dick Williams and that team. Dick Williams is the manager of the West Palm Beach Tropics. So the guy who started the league, he says, come on down and you can sit as we organize and you can pick the team you want to be with. So I went down there to the beautiful hotel in Miami and we sat and I decided, well, Dick Williams, we've got Ron Washington's the shortstop, the Mets home run hitter. What's his name? Who hits all the home runs? He's so fabulous. He's in left field. I'm going to pick the West Palm Beach Tropics. That's the team that I'm going to spend the season with. So I plunked down $2,000 on Fisher Island so that I'd live there. The next day, I got a call on the telephone. We don't want you. I had written Personal Fouls, which is about Jim Valvano in North Carolina State, and it had gotten Valvano fired. And the guy who was the PR guy for the West Palm Beach Tropics was a friend of Valvano's. So he decided, I don't want this guy with our team. So he goes to Jim Morley, who is the league founder. And I call Morley, and I said, what do I do now? And Morley says to me, I own the St. Pete Pelicans. You come and spend the season with the Pelicans. And that one conversation was enough to change my entire life.
And we're so happy that it did, because we got the compilation of the Senior League, that book, and we got all the memories that you're able to bring today of opening day here. As we look at this beautiful sky, it is truly getting packed here at Ferg's.
It's
I wondered
amazing.
What they were going to do if all these bars that were open. Who was going to... Now the lines are 5 and 10 deep. But they continue to open up more bars.
Trust me. He's got the logistics down pat. Hey, I got to get it.
If Mark Ferguson right now would run for mayor, he would win.
Oh, without a shadow of doubt. Because you know what would happen right away? That deal would not ever have been in any doubt. It would have been the Ray Hines push through. He's a lobbyist. He's a promoter. He's got it. All right, I want MVP of both leagues from you and Cy Young Award.
All right, I got to stick with that Philly theme. Zach Wheeler, this is his first opening day start, and Zach Wheeler just takes it and runs from here. He's your Cy Young in the National League. MVP, it's going to be really difficult to get away from Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman's got two top guys at the top of the lineup, and he's protected by Ohtani. How can that guy that doesn't stroke 300 hit the ball over the fence? How's he not your MVP in the National League? Those are my National League. Why don't you go to the American League since I know you've handicapped that?
Well, Freddie Freeman is makes perfect sense.
And I love
pitcher,
that cat.
And for the Cy Young would be the pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, who Kevin Cash took out in the seventh inning of the World Series.
Hey, if Blake Snell wins the Cy Young Award winner, he's going to have a history. I wonder how many different teams.
No, that'll be three teams.
That'll be three.
Three.
And
the only one who comes close.
With three different teams?
Well, seven Cy Youngs for Roger Clemens. Seven.